Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, happy Monday, and we're glad you're with us, Sean Hannity Show. All right, we are in Singapore, the site of the big summit to take place. Well, it actually starts when we begin TV, 9 o'clock tonight, Eastern time. It is 3 a.m. here in Singapore, believe it or not. Our schedule is literally turned upside down, topsy-turvy, in ways that were much tougher than I could even describe. But anyway, 3 o'clock in the East, 12 o'clock Pacific, 3 a.m. here in Singapore. This is going to be one of the biggest news weeks that we ever have. We just have the president finishing up the G7 summit, I think, on a high note, and the media can't believe that the president is demanding for the first time in American history that actually we be treated fairly. It's American blood, American treasure. It's American men and women that give their life and limbs to fight the wars to save the world, and then all these other countries, all of them, expect one-sided trade deals, and then the president says, you know what, we're going to fix that. And all of a sudden, people react and bubble and fizz like Alka-Seltzer in water. We'll hit that today. By Thursday of this week, and I'm anticipating probably tomorrow, there's going to begin the leaking as it relates to the IG report. Why tomorrow? Because they want to start burying the lead and watering down whatever negative aspects of this IG report come out. So I'm just telling you, it's going to be a lot of news all throughout the week. But we're here, obviously, for the big summit with Kim Jong-un and President Trump. A couple of things. First, I got to say, Singapore is a beautiful city. It is spectacular, actually. The people are extraordinarily nice and kind, and I mean, really go above and beyond. Wait till you hear from Daniel Hoffman. Now, Daniel Hoffman's 30-plus years in the CIA. He is going to scare the living daylights out of you when you find out the intel spying capacity of the Chinese, the Russians, and everybody else that pretty much hates our guts. So he'll be with us. He's actually here in Singapore with us. Dr. Gorka is with us in Singapore. Sarah Carter is here in Singapore. Sweet baby James, Linda, and what's that guy's name? Oh, Blair. Oh, the one that actually burned Linda really, really bad. He's here. Well, so we have a full complement of people. Let me start with this summit, and let me tell you what is changing before our very eyes. And I think that we're going to look through the prism of history and we'll find out Hannity was right and the rest of your corrupt media is dead wrong. And it's about the presidency. It is every single person that thought, that believed Donald Trump could never win the primary. I won't play it now. You know my favorite montage. Donald Trump is not going to win the... Run, Donald, run! And everybody mocking and laughing. And the same people that up until 10 o'clock on election night 2016, they not only thought, they knew Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency. Those very same people that said it was going to lead to an economic disaster. Why you would think getting rid of regulation is ever going to hurt business? It never made sense. But what we're seeing is the absolute burden on the economy that all of the you have the multitude of varying interest groups that the Democrats always appeal to. That all ends up being legislation that's destroying business in this country, hurting business opportunities, you know, literally incentivizing businesses to leave. Those people that thought this would be a disaster, they're looking at the best economy that is emerging since Ronald Reagan. And it happened in 500 days, and they cannot handle it. You know, look at the one statistic that now blows my mind more than any other one, is we've got more jobs in America than we have people on unemployment. That is virtually full employment in America. In 500 days, you get 2 million people off of food stamps and almost the same number of people out of poverty. You have the lowest unemployment rate ever, record lows in 14 states. You have record low unemployment for women, African Americans, and Hispanic Americans. And those same people that never thought Donald Trump could be successful, they're never going to report it in the media. And Democrats go into a full panic because Donald Trump's success is their worst nightmare, because the media doesn't want to be proven wrong. They don't want to. You think they're ever going to go on and admit that they were wrong about Donald Trump? That's never going to happen. They're going to spend the rest of the Trump presidency, in other words, through January 20th, 2025, they're going to spend the rest of his presidency trying to delegitimize him, take him down, and say what a horrible person he is. And those same people in the Democratic Party, they're panicked. Remember, 2018 was supposed to be the year of the big blue wave. As Donald Trump is successful on the economy, and now the polls show the American people giving him the due success that he deserves for turning around the economy, well, that's bad news for the Democratic Party. How do they win an election? We're going to raise your taxes, Nancy Pelosi says. Well, we just got the biggest tax cut in history, and most people feel it. And it's the same thing here as we are in Singapore. They are almost actively, every step of the way, they never thought this president would be here this week. They're hoping this fails. And by failing, you know, my little viewing of the media, let me tell you how they're defining failure already. They're saying Donald Trump is taking a picture with Little Rocket Man. Little Rocket Man wins right there. One photo opportunity. He's on the same stage as the president of the United States. Win, 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 win. Okay, I actually think the world and Trump have won before he ever got here. Think about this. Did anybody else ever get Little Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un, did they ever get him to literally take a test site, a nuclear test site, and dismantle it? Not one. Nobody got that happening. As a matter of fact, Bill Clinton gave Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's father, billions of dollars in energy subsidies, and said, this is a good deal for the American people. He's not going to build nuclear weapons. Okay, he built nuclear weapons. It didn't work out. The liberal policy of appeasement, well, and frankly, ass-kissing and ring-kissing and bowing before dictators and despots, it doesn't work. It didn't work in Iran. The Iranians now saying they're ratcheting up their nuclear program. Well, so much for the $150 billion in bribes that Obama gave him. So all the people that thought Trump couldn't win the primary, the election, didn't think the economy would turn around, those same people were saying when President Trump said fire and fury, when President Trump said Little Rocket Man, when President Trump said walked away and said canceled this summit. 8 hours later, Kim Jong-un is begging for the summit to be put back on. The South Korean president is deployed to the White House, you know, to please try and fix this thing. We didn't think, nobody thought, they all said Trump's going to start a nuclear war. This is dangerous. This is so dangerous. He called him a name. He called him Rocket Man. You know, Rocket Man, you know, he called him Rocket Man. It's like, oh, the panic sets in. So what did we get out of this so far? Before they even say a word, we've got the dismantling of a test site. We've got three American hostages home. Now, think about that one issue for a second. If I told you that the president could save three American lives And the only price he had to pay was a picture with little Rocket Man. Would you take the deal? If I'm president, I think I'd probably find a way to take that deal. I want to bring my American family home. I want my Americans back here. We got the three hostages. We got the dismantling of the test site. We got Rocket Man crossing the DMZ. I mean, nobody thought that would happen. And here's a little discussed fact among these idiots. I mean, I am now more convinced than ever. These people in the media are the dumbest people on earth, the most agenda-driven people on earth, as evidenced by me last week saying, if I told the people that Robert Mueller said, give me your cell phone, if I told them, bad idea, not going to work out well, kidding, if, and then everyone exploded. Hannity is demanding, telling witnesses to destroy the evidence. We got him. I'm like, no, Hannity's saying don't do what Hillary Clinton did, because if you did, you're going to jail. And it made my point that we have a dual justice system. So then we got no missiles being fired over Japan. How short are everybody's memories here? And then we've got, as this all is unfolding, you know, three hardliners, I think the most underreported story, three hardliners are literally expunged by Little Rocket Man. And what does that mean? Because there are people probably he's figured out behind the scenes that don't like what he's doing, that don't, you know, appreciate him reaching out to the United States, that don't like hostages released, that think it looks weak, don't like the idea of a denuclearized Korean Peninsula, and are probably pushing really hard behind the scenes to make that stop. So when you put all of this together, what's the point I'm trying to make? Don't worry, it's a little after 3 a.m. here in Singapore. I'm just fine. Believe it or not, we have adapted to the time change because we've been here all weekend. The point is, something now is unfolding before our eyes. And what I'm concluding is it is a transformation. If Donald Trump can ultimately withstand this concerted effort of the deep state to destroy him, if they can do that, if he can do that, and the economy continues down its path, and foreign policy continues down its path, whether or not this is successful, look, it's they pretty much telegraphed there's not going to be a deal signed here. I would not be surprised at all if we saw an official end to the Korean War, which is kind of bizarre. What year was it, 1950? I mean, it's just bizarre that it's still ongoing. But we've had tensions ever since with Kim Jong-un's father and Kim Jong-un's grandfather, and their view of the West and the United States in particular have not been particularly favorable. And, you know, so what's happening is you have a president there. All the old rules now are going away. All the old rules are done. He didn't run like a traditional candidate. He didn't win like a traditional candidate. I don't know many other candidates that could have withstood the scrutiny, the attacks, and even some of the controversy of Donald Trump. But Americans seem to want a disruptor and an iconoclast that's actually going to get things done. And the more he's able to get these things done, the more likely it's going to be that he can be successful and that he can transform the office of the presidency. That's my bigger point. All right, we're in Singapore. We're glad you are with us. Believe it or not, it's 20 minutes after 3 a.m. here. And it's so weird to think that we do the show in New York and it's 3:20 in the afternoon and it's 3:20 a.m. here. Kind of weird, but we're glad to be here. This is history in the making. I will be having an interview with the president while we are here in Singapore. I'll tell you more about that as the program unfolds.
With only a kite, a house key, and wet hemp string, Benjamin Franklin captured lightning in a bottle. Over 260 years later, with a little resourcefulness, ingenuity, and grit, we're not only capturing energy from the sun and wind, we're storing it, ensuring Americans have the energy they need whenever they need it. Learn more about the nation's leader in energy storage at nexteraenergy.com.
Right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show in Singapore today, and it's actually happening at 9 o'clock tonight. As I come up on television live from Singapore tonight, that's when it begins. We will be having an interview with the president. I'll let you know more about that as the day unfolds here. I only want to say one thing. It's not a matter of us saying, oh, we were right, that, you know, all the never Trumpers, all the Republicans, he's a real liberal. And I just kept saying he's not. And they said, well, how do you know? I know because he played the game as a businessman in New York. That's it. Because you can't get anything done business-wise in New York, especially New York City, unless you play the game. What's the game? The game is you go to their stupid fundraising parties, even though you hate them. Because if you don't go and you don't donate, all of a sudden you're not going to get your building permits. All of a sudden you're going to have problems with the labor unions. All of a sudden things aren't going to be working out on particular projects. That's why. And the only thing I think people legitimately had a concern about was abortion. He's the only president that spoke to the pro-life community on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. So we have an opportunity here, and whether or not anything comes of this summit, I kind of have a gut feeling that this is going to be good, because it's already good, because things we never thought would happen are happening. That the president, like everything else that he has done, you know what the difference between him and it sort of was illustrated when the New York Times was saying, oh, you're not preparing. And he said, I prepared my whole life for this. It's about attitude. It's about negotiating. He knows the issues. This is about the complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. That's what it's about. And does Little Rocket Man want to join the world community for the benefit of his people and probably his ultimate survival? Because Trump has made it clear he's not going to survive. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And my guess is he probably sees a country like Singapore, which is cleaner and in many ways nicer, although you can't chew gum here. They'll arrest you and you'll get the Singapore sling and you'll get whacked with bamboo. There's huge progress in this part of the world. All right, got to take a break. We're in Singapore. We'll come back. Our regular Hannity tonight, as the president and Kim Jong-un actually meet 9 Eastern. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. The best summit coverage available on your radio dial straight ahead. 25 now till the top of the hour. Well, it means 25 till 4 a.m. here in Singapore. It is the most bizarre thing to have that big of a time change here in Singapore. But I got to tell you, we've had time to acclimate, so it's actually been a good thing. The summit is on. It'll start around 9 p.m. Eastern. When I come on Hannity tonight, we'll have full coverage of that. We're going to have an interview with the president. We have Daniel Hoffman. Daniel Hoffman, former CIA ops officer, has been literally amazing guy, amazing life experience. We had dinner with him, last night, Sunday night. Whatever, I have to stay on one time. Everyone tries to, it's Tuesday here, it's Wednesday there, and stay on Eastern time. Everybody stay on Eastern time, because it drives me crazy. One of the things that you've got to take out of this, and nobody knows the outcome, although I'm kind of feeling pretty good about it. That's my honest gut feeling. I just can't stand how abusively corrupt your media is. Well, Kim Jong-un wins the second he gets a photo with the president. It's driving me nuts, because we've gotten so much, as I was saying, you know, to dismantle your test site. That's big. Hostages released. That's big. Crossing the DMZ. That's big. No missiles being fired over Japan. That's been a pretty good thing for the world. Talking about denuclearization, hardliners being purged out of the regime of Kim Jong-un. Those are all good things. All good things on the economy. There's not a bad economic statistic that we have out there. And the point I was making about transformation, you know, think about this. Let's say families are now reunited, North Korea, South Korea. Let's say, just like in the case of the Berlin Wall, you know, let's say there is a unification. I'm not talking about tomorrow or next week. I mean, in the next 5 years. Remember, Reagan walked away from Reykjavik, and the press was like, failure, failure. It wasn't a failure. It was the beginning of a process. And I think the president has appropriately managed expectations here. It might take, it's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen in the first meeting. It may take 2, 3, 4, 5 meetings. I might invite little Rocket Man to Mar-a-Lago, and he can hang out with us, or the White House, and he can hang out with us if he's really serious about wanting to join the world community. But what happens, why the American people, in their wisdom, and this is where the media and liberal Democrats have such contempt for us, for you, is that they never saw this possibility. They wanted the same old, dry, dull, you know, predictable establishment figure, Hillary, as president. For Hillary to pull off something like this, it'd be 30 years in the making. It might take 8 years to culminate with a meeting. Trump's like, all right, I'll do it in 2 weeks. That is a disruptor. That's an iconoclast. That's somebody that doesn't approach the office of the presidency like anybody we know in modern times. He's handed a mess. He looks at the mess and he's like, all right, let me all those regulations go. Done. Signed. Away. Okay, the tax cuts are going to stimulate the economy. Done. We've got the biggest tax cuts in history. Oh, you know what? All these businesses that have trillions of dollars parked overseas, let's incentivize them to bring their money here so they can build factories in Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Ohio, you know, all these states that need them. And so that's also happening. Now, let's say, liberals like to say, oh, they love John Lennon. Imagine. All right. Imagine this. Imagine nobody thought these things would happen so far with Little Rocket Man. Let's say maybe we can actually, on a humanitarian basis, maybe people that are starving might actually get some food. I would think that's a liberal quality. I thought liberals had compassion for the poor and the underserved, and I thought they had compassion for children and people of all backgrounds, et cetera, and ethnicities. Well, the people of North Korea are kind of starving, and they live under oppression, and you don't dare ever speak out against Little Rocket Man, or you'll be a dead person. Maybe humanitarian improvements come about this. I'm imagining, like John Lennon, just like all you liberals. Maybe at some point down the line, there would be unification of North and South Korea. Maybe. I don't know. Look, it's a possibility. Maybe we really get to completely, verifiably, irreversibly denuclearize North Korea and the Korean Peninsula. Is that a good thing? I thought the liberals always had these bumper stickers, no nukes. Oh, how ironic it's going to take a conservative to do no nukes. How ironic it was Reagan that was able to bring the Berlin Wall down. How ironic that families were brought back together that had been separated forever since World War II. That all happened. What are the two common traits of Reagan and Trump here? It's strength. Strike force, naval brigades right off of Little Rocket Man's coast. You know what that was? That's called peace through strength. That's called a show of military force. You know, unbeknownst to most people, another underreported story is the relationship that the president has forged with the Chinese president. And that has resulted in the Chinese helping us, as it relates to sanctions, squeeze the North Korean economy. Why is that good? Well, it's bringing them to their knees to the point that, like, they can't survive if they don't join the world community. Everyone's saying, well, the Chinese, they don't want the Rocket Man and the president to make this deal. I don't know about that. Why wouldn't they want it done? You know what? The one thing you can say about China, and I don't agree with their political system. It's oppressive. It is a dictatorship. It is what it is. But they have too been trying to make massive economic progress for their people. And, you know, ultimately, do we have a bigger problem potentially with China? Yeah, but they're not the problem right now. Right now, they're helping the United States. You know, and that goes to what happened at the summit, you know, this weekend. I'm only saying, imagine this too. Let's say if the president's successful here, you know, I've been saying there is a window of opportunity that is open that has never existed before in the Middle East. And that window is because of Iranian, the potential of Iranian hegemony in the Middle East and the mullahs of Iran desperately trying to get nukes themselves. We have, it's already emerged. It's already together. Look, at it's not by accident that the president has met multiple times with the Israeli prime minister. It's not by accident that he met with General al-Sisi of Egypt. It's not an accident that he's met with the king of Jordan. It's not an accident that he's met with the new so-called reform crown prince of Saudi Arabia. And what we know is happening, what is public that is happening, is they're all sharing intelligence. They're all working together. They all understand that their fates are tied together. And for the first time, I would say since the UN partition plan, you actually have a possibility, if you can thread a needle that is so small, that maybe the next thing would be that. Well, all you liberals want to imagine that. Imagine if it's Donald Trump that pulls that off. Hannity, you're just living in a fantasy. No, I'm living in a world that needed a shakeup. We're living in a world where we needed in this country, we're living in a moment where the old way of doing things is dead. As of now, it is dead. It is such a threat to the establishment class. They don't want him to succeed. And that's where I think, you know, a lot that there is a he is a threat to every single swamp creature in Washington, every Democrat. Look at what Robert De Niro did, hurling an F-bomb. Did it go over the air when he said F Trump? Do we know if it went over the air? Anybody?
Not in America.
It didn't go. It did in Australia. It went over the air. Yeah, and the standing ovation. I'm like, really? Why? Why do you hate him? Why is your hate so pathological? You know, what has Donald Trump done at this point that is so bad that you know, these people trying to remove him from office? Now, Sarah Carter's here. This is a big week as it relates to the IG report is coming out. The leaks are going to start happening tomorrow. You know, what's so bad that the president goes to all of these countries in the G7 and they panic and they flip out? Maybe it should be the G8 again, because maybe Russia, which is so hostile to all of us, maybe we can calm them down a little bit and maybe make progress and say to Vladimir Putin, not the way Obama would say it, but the way Trump would say it, get the hell out of Syria. Why are you supporting this guy that gasses his own people? And say it to him in person. It's a different dynamic. It's a different president. You know, I said many times, liberals hated it when Obama was president. I don't think I'd want my kids fighting in the military with somebody as commander in chief that's so weak. Obama was weak. And, you know, Trump doesn't want to fight foreign wars. Neither do I. We don't fight to win foreign wars. We lose 55,000, you know, kids, our treasure in Vietnam. And we say, never mind. You know, we lose over 5,000 in Iraq and Afghanistan, $7 trillion later. And all those kids that died and all those kids that lost their legs and were disfigured in arms. And we say, never mind. You know, we give a data withdrawal. We haven't completed the task. We don't fight wars to win wars. People like Obama, you know, put these rules of engagement that are so onerous that nobody would ever, you know, want their kids to fight. You can't second guess. Clint Lawrence is Exhibit A. And so the president saying at the G7 summit, hey, not only do we save your ass every single time, you're supposed to be our allies, then you want us to pay for everything. I'm looking out for fair trade deals. I don't think this president wants a trade war. He's going to start one. And at the end of the day, Trudeau, who kind of did stab as the president in the back, he couldn't say it to him to his face. He waits till he's on Air Force One headed to Singapore. You know, What about our dairy farmers? I care about our dairy farmers. Everybody goes to Iowa that's running the president. We care about dairy farmers. Okay, this guy's standing up for the people of Iowa and Wisconsin and our dairy industry because they want a 275% tariff. How about we stand up to them? Why does Canada get a free pass when you really are going to be honest about it, we are Canada's protection. We are their military. Because if they don't have the United States, they are not nearly as safe as they are now. And that's the same for Europe. And frankly, it's the same for the rest of the world. So then they get, you know, they get to take advantage of us. All right, we'll get into all of this. We have some huge, I did like what Trump said, by the way. Trump calls for the G7 bluff. He's proposed zero tariffs for everybody. That's a brilliant idea. Nobody should have a tariff. I don't think we need one. Sarah Carter is here. Daniel Hoffman, who joins us at the top of the next hour, he's going to scare the crap out of you. We'll tell you about that when we get back. He's here with us. Dr. Gorka is here with us, and much, much more. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free number. We'll be taking calls like normal from Singapore. All right, as we continue Sean Hannity Show, we are in Singapore. Oh, Linda did she went out, man on the street. Wait till we play that for you. That's coming up in the course of the program. Daniel Hoffman is going to be with us, CIA operative officer. And I got to tell you something. He will scare the living daylights out of you. We're going to talk a little bit about all the surveillance, spying, insanity. Like, he's convinced everything that we're doing here is being monitored, every single thing. We have some deep state news. We have the IG report coming out. We have more on the G7 that we've got to get to, and much more. Sarah Carter is here, and then we're going to talk about how corrupt your media is. All right, it's the Sean Hannity Show now, 4 a.m., almost coming up on 4 a.m. in Singapore, 4 in the East, and, of course, 1 Pacific. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue from Singapore. The best summit coverage available on your radio dial.
How long will it take to figure out whether or not they're serious? I said maybe in the first minute. You know, the way they say that you know if you're going to like somebody in the first 5 seconds. You ever hear that one? Well, I think that very quickly I'll know whether or not something good is going to happen. I also think I'll know whether or not it will happen fast. May not, but I think I'll know pretty quickly whether or not, in my opinion, something positive will happen. And if I think it won't happen, I'm not going to waste my time. I don't want to waste his time.
Concerned at all that just by giving Kim the meeting, he's getting a win as a deal?
No. That's only the fake news says that. You know, this. Look, we just got 3 hostages back. We paid nothing. They came back. They're happily ensconced in their homes with their families. They're the happiest people in the world right now. We have gotten. You know, we haven't done anything. Everyone said. You know, the haters. They say, oh, you're giving him a meeting. Give me a break, okay? There's nothing. I think if I didn't do this, it would be, and it's never been done before, you know, it's never been done before. And obviously, what has been done before hasn't worked.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. That was the president. Yeah, what they've done before hasn't worked. By the way, 4 a.m. here in Singapore. We're in Singapore, and 4 o'clock in the East and 1 o'clock Pacific. And it's never been done before. Nobody's ever gotten it. Now, think of this, because no matter what happens here in Singapore, the media does not want this president to succeed. They didn't think he could win the primary. They didn't think he'd win the general election and beat Hillary. They laughed when he got into the race to run for president. They're not laughing anymore. 500 days in, we've hit one economic record after another. And before the president got here, we had the dismantling of one nuclear test site in North Korea. We had 3 hostages released. We had Kim Jong-un crossing the DMZ into the arms of the South Korean president. We have no missiles being fired over Japan. The threat to the region and the world has significantly been reduced. They're talking about denuclearization. That's been clear. And he's now beginning to purge hardliners. So what's my point here? Is, okay, so the president's going to meet him. He said it's a process. If the president doesn't anything short of Kim Jong-un getting on his knees and saying, oh, Mr. Trump, we love you. is going to be viewed as a failure as it relates to the news media, the corrupt news media, the fake news media in America. They don't want to be able to say, wow, he did something amazing here. Anyway, Daniel Hoffman, he's now a Fox News contributor. This guy spent how many, 35 years in the CIA doing special ops and you're a CIA operations officer. What else did you do? You've done everything. You scare the crap out of me, by the way. Just to be very blunt.
Listen, you know, I served a lot overseas in the Middle East and in South Asia and former Soviet Union.
Right.
Tracked North Korean targets all over the world.
Right.
And I will tell you, this is a fascinating target. It's extraordinarily important, especially these days. I mean, this is the most isolated country on the planet. So intelligence really matters.
And this guy never leaves home. I mean, that's one of the more fascinating things is... And I know, I think he was educated, Kim Jong-un, in Great Britain. Right?
Switzerland.
Switzerland.
He was
Switzerland,
in Geneva for 2 years.
Geneva, right. And
right.
They said he was a bully.
Right.
And they said he was a glutton. And he wasn't actually loved by his teachers. And he didn't have particularly good grades. But putting all of that aside, this is an opportunity. We've already gotten so much. I don't even know what to say to the idiocy of the argument, well, just a photo op is a win for Kim. I'm like, I don't know. I think that if any president was ever offered the dismantling of a nuclear site, hostages released, Kim not firing missiles anymore, crossing the DMZ, willing to talk about denuclearization, and we're going to get all of that just for a photo op, I think I'd take it just for the three hostages. I don't know. What would you do?
No, it's a lot. And it matters to our national security. You know, what I would also highlight is here we are in Singapore, and this country is abuzz with the summit. And it draws such a contrast between this country and this region, which is so economically vibrant, and North Korea, whose economy is in free fall. I can only imagine what Kim Jong-un's coterie is thinking right now as they arrive in Singapore and are staying at the beautiful St. Regis Hotel. Apparently, Kim Jong-un brought his own toilet with him.
Why would he bring his own toilet?
South Korean media was saying that they did not that Kim Jong-un did not want anybody analyzing his stools, believe it or not.
All right, that's really paranoid.
How about that for some
that's
paranoia?
That's really, really paranoid. All right.
That's the hermit kingdom for you. But, you know, his guys who are with him are looking at all of this and seeing their own country with economy in free fall. At the end of the day, it was maximum economic pressure that we brought on North Korea that brought him to Singapore to talk to us. And then the fact that the president went out and focused on North Korea and our bilateral relationship and stopped focusing on this idea of a six-party framework where Russia and China were out to do us harm.
Right.
Instead, we exerted a lot of pressure bilaterally on North Korea. That's why we're here right now.
But it was also the president, and it was a use of force. Every step of the way, and I went into this in detail in the last hour, every step of the way, you know, when the president called him Little Rocket Man, the media went into a panic. When he said fire and fury, and our button's bigger than yours, and ours actually works, the media thought we were going to have a nuclear war with North Korea. So every step of the way, they can't believe we've gotten to this point. I see a similarity, though, when the president, through sanctions and by putting it, the naval strike force or the Korean Peninsula, and the pressure from China. That's an untold story. The president's relationship with China helped, that he got along so well with the Chinese president.
Right. I think there was far more calculus to the president's policy towards North Korea than probably a lot in the media would like to admit. And I would emphasize as well that intelligence, my expectation is, it played a huge role. Secretary Pompeo made two visits to North Korea,
right,
produced significant intelligence on what makes North Korea tick, and Kim Jong-un in particular, because Secretary Pompeo was there meeting with him,
yeah,
and produced the leadership profile, the analysis of Kim Jong-un that has been so important to the president's calculation. I think the president is making good use of intelligence, as well as this new Korea Mission Center, which Secretary Pompeo created shortly after he started at CIA.
You were very, very smart and in the forefront of warning on television, on my TV show, that we got to manage expectations here. And it wasn't long after, you said it way in advance, once this was announced. And the president, to me, he basically has telegraphed how this is going to go, that this is a process. This is a first meeting. There's going to be a second, third, fourth, and fifth meeting. And I wouldn't, nothing is going to be signed tomorrow. but it's a process. Kim Jong-un had to take certain steps to get to this process. Now that he's done those things, now he gets the first meeting. There's enormous economic pressure, military pressure being brought to bear on North Korea. Their people are starving. He probably, power-wise, is in jeopardy, and he's now got the choice to make, and it's going to be up to him. And as the president said, well, he'll go as fast or slow as he wants.
Right, and the key thing is Secretary Pompeo has repeated, including today, that maximum economic pressure is not going to stop until North Korea completes the process for denuclearization. So the process will take a while. There are a lot of sites. There are thousands of...
Complete, verifiable, right, and irreversible. That's our stance. They get nothing without that.
Right, and it'll take time to dismantle sites. There are thousands of North Koreans employed at these facilities. You've got North Korean scientists and a serious proliferation threat, you know, a brain drain.
Absolutely.
You know, when the Soviet Union collapsed, lots of Russian scientists made their way to other places, including to North Korea.
Right.
And we know that North Korea was responsible for the nuclear reactor in Syria, which Israel blew up in 2007.
By the way, one of the greatest military strikes ever that got the least amount of press.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't even admit who did it until many years later.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Now, before you got here in the last hour, I was telling this audience why you scare the crap out of me. You've been doing intelligence for how many years now?
So I served for you know, the better part of three decades.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're in a hotel doing this radio show.
Right.
And we set up our lines. And you went through great detail how I have probably been a target since the election or before the election.
Right.
Because, and not only that, you are convinced we're probably even being videotaped, at least audio taped. This room is bugged. You're convinced.
Yeah, I am.
Who's bugging it?
So this...
That means I have to take a shower in my underwear or what? What does that mean?
Listen, I spent a number of years in Moscow. I was used to, you know, audio and video recordings. This hotel room, we could fill actually this hotel up probably with audio, video, and other written reports about me during my time in Russia alone. But the thing about this summit is it's drawn such significant interest from our enemies, from China and from Russia in particular, and they've got extraordinary reach all over the world, but particularly here in Singapore. So absolutely, I'm sure that they're focused on you because of your relationship with the president. They would assess that you're someone of interest based on the fact that the president watches this show.
They don't even know my relationship, but they know that. Would they know about my TV show? Would they know about the...
Sure, they would. They would know about your TV show. They would make an assessment that you have a relationship with the president, that you engage with him on a regular basis, and for that reason you would be of interest to the North Koreans, obviously, and to the Chinese and the Russians and others, and so you would be a target of interest for them, yeah.
Yeah. But it's bigger than that. They're targeting us all the time. We're targeting them all the time. As we continue with Daniel Hoffman, he is a 35-plus year CIA operative and officer. As we continue from Singapore in the lead-up to today's summit, in the lead-up to tonight, the summit, which begins 9 Eastern tonight. And I think the thing that scared me, when you talk to guys like Philip Haney of the Department of Homeland Security, he's one of their founding members, or Kirk Wiebe or Bill Binney, well, you know, founding members of the NSA, they will tell you every phone call, every text, every email that we ever send out is metadata stored, and Americans don't know what's happening. Now, number one, what he's describing is illegal. The government's not allowed to do that. Do you think they do that? Is he right? He was one of the founding members of the NSA.
Yeah, I never saw evidence of that, but of course my focus was on the foreign intelligence side, so I was collecting intelligence overseas. As far as what might or might not have been happening in the U.S. is a different story, but what I would highlight is that every single communication I had that was open overseas, particularly in Russia, whether it was an email or a text message or a phone call, that was all subject to collection by the Russian intelligence services.
What about all these extra, like, for example, Robert Mueller wanted to get the phones to see if people had extra encryption on their phones, WhatsApp or whatever, Signal, any of these other programs. Do they help? Do they prevent them from gathering that intelligence? Or is that, like, laughable to them?
No, those are good programs. I mean, if you can encrypt your data at rest and in motion, like if WhatsApp or Signal or Line, that's a good way to prevent others from seeing what you're doing.
But the bottom line is, because if you read for the average person, you actually did this on our end, right?
Right.
You're good at this. You understand this. Who's better at it? Are we better at it, or are the Chinese and Russians better at it at this game?
I think in terms of technology, we're better. I think where the difference
is... Or the Israelis. They're great.
The Israelis are great. I think where the difference is, though, we actually operate under a system of laws under which the Russians, the Chinese, and others don't operate. So the Chinese are using artificial intelligence to spy on their own citizens
right.
and enhance their police state capabilities. We don't do that in the United States.
Are you sure we don't do that in the United States? Because I'm beginning to wonder... After, let's see, FISA judges were lied to repeatedly in applications with propaganda put together by foreign agents in the lead up to an election to spy on an opposition party candidate. That makes me suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say from my own perspective of having lived in places where there is no freedom of the press or respect for the law, at least in the United States, we do have freedom of the press. We have respect for the law, lots of checks and balances and lots of debate and discussion that you don't have in those other places.
But everybody would read in the United States that, for example, iPhone is encrypted and that even the FBI couldn't break the encryption.
Right.
If you remember that one particular case, do you believe that? Is it that safe?
I mean,
if it's that safe, then why would we be told, or you're telling me, that they can break everything here?
Well, what they're doing here is they're listening to all of your conversations. If they use video, then they can get screenshots of what you're typing. You know, you have to go someplace where they can't actually see the phone you're working on. If I were in Russia, that would
so you really say they want to see me taking a shower? That's really creepy.
Well, I
that's
hope
very creepy. And by the way, for all the Chinese, Russian spies listening, don't be creepy. That's weird.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what they do. And you know what they find, honestly, is that the people who find that it's creepy or unnerving, that's why they do it, because they never want you to be comfortable
it's not
in those places. There you go.
And you know what? I just don't – you have to get to a point in life where I think I am at this point. I do not give a flying rip, and I don't think Trump gives a flying rip either. And I think that – if they were smart and if they really were good intelligence people, they would be able to figure out that it's better to get along with the United States and live in a world where we're not trying to kill each other so we can raise our kids, make money, and have a good life. All right, we got to say goodbye. Daniel Hoffman, you're going
to
stop by later in the week.
Looking forward to it.
We really appreciate you coming. We'll have you on Hannity tonight. When we start Hannity is the moment that the summit starts, 9 Eastern, as we continue from Singapore. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you've done for your country, too. 35 years traveling all over the world of service is pretty amazing. And by the way, if I wasn't doing this, I would like to do what you did. That fascinates me. It scares me a little bit now. Like, you make it so dark and creepy that it really should scare everybody. I mean this in the best way. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. We're in Singapore. It is 24 now before 5 a.m. Singapore time. What's really amazing is it's actually going to be, I think, the most interesting thing was we have President Trump that's going to join us. When we come on TV tonight, 9 Eastern, that is exactly the moment this summit begins officially. And we should, as we come up at 9, I would think it's one of those events that it's actually going to be on time. Before we get to our friend Sarah Carter, she is here. Remember, big news week in a lot of fronts. We have the fallout from the G7 that took place in Canada. This is IG week. The, of course, broken deal. The DOJ was supposed to hand over documents to Devin Nunes and to other members of Congress. It didn't happen. We have a letter that has been sent. It has the word impeachment in it as it relates to if the DOJ, they're in contempt of Congress. They're obstructing. They won't hand over documents. Congress has constitutional congressional oversight. They can't do their job. So we'll get to that with Sarah Carter in a minute. First, we did send Linda out on the streets here of Singapore, and she's getting, well, let's say a local flavor, if you will, for what people think of this summit.
Hey, everybody, it's Linda, and we're here in Singapore talking to the folks on the street, trying to get the lowdown on how they feel about Donald Trump coming here for the summit. So we're going to talk to folks up along Cashin Street, Saya Street, and ask them what they think. So do you think that President Trump is right to have a meeting with Kim Jong-un?
Yes.
Do you think it's possible to have nuclear peace?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And are you happy that it's here in Singapore?
Happy.
Very happy.
Very happy.
What do you think about President Trump trying to get nuclear peace here?
Not so sure about it.
What do you think about Kim Jong-un?
I think he could be... I think it's a good improvement from his side. At least he make an effort that he willing to listen to the rest of the world.
And at least try to make a chance, right?
Yeah, it's a good start.
All right, and Singapore. I'm from New York. How you doing in Singapore? Singapore, welcome. Do you want some coffee? There's a great coffee place here. It's all amazing. Amazing stuff. Anyway, we're just having fun. Sarah Carter, investigator, reporter, Fox News contributor, is with us. We also have the IG report. She's first of all, what are your thoughts about Singapore?
Well, it's incredible. I mean, this is the first time that we are going to have a sitting president meet with Kim Jong-un and negotiate what is possibly the denuclearization of North Korea. So this is an incredible moment in history. I'm so excited to be here. Like Linda, I was able to talk to people on the streets today. So many of them are hopeful that something will come out of this, at least the very first steps towards peace, Sean. And I think that is what we've got to be looking at here. This is the very
first step. How come nobody talks to me when I'm out on the street? They're like, they run in the other direction.
They're running. They're running for their dear lives.
I do find the city pretty incredible. I mean, it's a beautiful city.
So
clean. A modern city, clean city. We walked through a whole radio and TV team. Everybody walked through the mall. I went to a local pharmacy to pick up all the stuff that I was supposed to bring that I forgot to bring. Sarah did a good job helping me find the right shampoo.
It was a difficult process, but...
It really was. I mean, I'm like, don't they have 3-in-1? I want 3-in-1.
There was no 3-in-1.
I know. So I had to go through the difficult process, showering the old-fashioned way. All right, let's go to this letter. And let's go to the never-ending obstruction, and let's get a preview of what's going to happen this week with the IG report.
Well, I think what we have to look at right now is the push by the House Intelligence Committee, particularly Chairman Devin Nunes, and he is once again threatening Rod Rosenstein with a subpoena. We've seen this over and over again over the last year, just in order to have oversight and to get to the documents that they need with regard to the FBI's investigation into alleged collusion between President Trump and Russia. Remember, these are specific documents, Sean. These were the documents that they requested in April that Rod Rosenstein has refused to turn over to the House committee.
But
refused.
These are specific dates, times,
correct.
Very specific documents. So they think they know what's in these documents.
I believe they know what's in those documents to some extent. They just need to look at them. They need to understand what was the beginning of this investigation. We've already shown, and I think they've already shown through their investigation, that there's no way that this investigation started when they said it did, which was July 2016. There is no way that it started at that point in time. They believe it started months prior, if not in 2015, and they need to look at those documents. This is the oversight of what has been going on with the American public. Rod Rosenstein, the DOJ, the FBI, even Christopher Wray, the new FBI director, has refused to cooperate with Congress. These are our elected officials. We are taxpayers. We have a right to know what was going on in this investigation. It's cost us millions and millions of dollars, the special counsel investigation, and we still don't have the answers we need. This is what we need right now, and if they don't turn those documents over, I can guarantee that by next week.
They're now saying contempt of Congress and possible impeachment, because I know that impeachment is being discussed among Congress.
Absolutely.
And by impeachment, not the president. We're talking about the deputy, acting attorney general, if you will, Rod Rosenstein.
Absolutely. That's what they're looking at right now. So we know we're in North Korea summit right now in the talks. I believe, and this is what I'm hearing, these are the rumblings, they don't want to disrupt the talks that are going on right now. But if they do not get those documents next week, they possibly will go after impeachment of Rod Rosenstein. And not only will they do that, they'll continue to do it every several days until they get an answer and until they get those documents.
You know, the fact that they have obstructed the way they have, I mean, they just keep missing deadlines. We wouldn't have had the Nunes memo if they had their way, because Rod Rosenstein, up to the last minute, was begging Paul Ryan not to hand him over to Devin Nunes. It became the Nunes memo, the Grassley Graham memo, all predicated on the very documents they didn't want. That means we wouldn't have known a thing about FISA abuse, lying to FISA judges. You broke the story on March 7, 2017, that there were FISA warrants. We said at the time, we didn't get it completely right because it was Trump Tower. but it was bigger than Trump Tower. It was the Trump campaign. And they literally got access by lying to a judge repeatedly in the original application, subsequent applications, lying to a judge, using information that a foreign national put together with Russian sources that Hillary paid for, funneled through a law firm. And it turns out that he even says, no, I don't say this is true. This is raw intelligence under the threat of perjury during an interrogatory. Christopher Steele saying that maybe 50-50. How does that become the basis of a warrant, the hardest warrant to get, to spy on an American citizen and to spy on an opposition party campaign associate?
Bingo, because this is about a counterintelligence investigation that even occurred before the foreign intelligence surveillance warrant that was taken out on Carter Page. And people think about Carter Page when they think Carter Page, they're thinking, oh, well, they were just monitoring Carter Page. Maybe there was some kind of connection between Carter Page and Russia. This was necessary for the U.S. government. Absolutely not. You're looking at secondary and tertiary warrants. When you look at Carter Page, they're picking up every single conversation Carter Page is having with somebody else, and then they can take those secondary conversations and pick up those with anybody they are having a conversation with. That's how they are collecting the information. But if you go back before the FISA application, you just look at previous months before that, you know that the counterintelligence investigation by the FBI, by the DOJ, was collecting all kinds of information. They did not need the FISA to collect the type of information that they were collecting. This is why Devin Nunes wants to see those documents. They want to know exactly what information was being collected and from who. Because if you go back months prior, all you have to do is look at London, England. Look at the information that was being delivered by countries like Estonia, Germany, and other allies to know that that was happening.
Sarah, one of the things that I'm predicting. All right, so here we are in the summit. They're meeting 9 o'clock Eastern when I'm on TV tonight. And I guarantee you that the IG report is probably going to start leaking Tuesday, which is New York, because they don't want this summit to. They want to use the summit as a means of burying, slowly dishing out maybe whatever information the IG has that is bad for the deep state, bad for the Department of Justice, bad for those people that were investigating Clinton's email server.
Yeah, but remember, it's not going to be so much Inspector General Michael Horowitz as it's going to be the Department of Justice, Rod Rosenstein, other folks.
They're
at the
leakers.
FBI. They're going to be the leakers here. Michael Horowitz is not going to leak. This is not how Michael Horowitz is made up. I know so many people that know him. Of course, there's concern.
But Sarah, you know how we know that? We know that because for 18 months he's put it together. There haven't been leaks.
Absolutely.
But the only leaks now are coming. They've now had this almost 3 weeks at the Department of Justice, and they're begging him to make changes, and they're begging for redactions, and they're begging him to make all these changes to make them look better and be less explosive.
That's right. They're trying to get Michael Horowitz to redact a number of things in this over 400-page document from the Inspector General. The Inspector General is more than likely not going to be bullied around. And remember, all those leaks, Sean, those came from the DOJ and they came from the FBI. If we want to go all the way back to Crossfire Hurricane, the operation that the FBI conducted against the Trump campaign, the spies within the Trump campaign, let's go back to Spygate. You know, when they began discussing who the person was that was collecting the information on members of the Trump campaign, the only people that leaked that information, it was not Devin Nunes. It was never in a letter that he sent to them. It was from the DOJ themselves, and they leaked it to the Washington Post and to the New York Times. They consistently have been leaking information. Now the IG report's going to come out. We already saw McCabe is being held accountable. He has a criminal referral for basically lying under oath.
I want to remind people the order of that, because the McCabe report was pretty devastating. The criminal referral comes after. And so, for example, when we get the IG report Thursday, any criminal referrals that would say happened to McCabe, Comey, Strzok, likely people, if there's going to be criminal referrals, it's going to come out then.
Well, that's when they'll announce it. So as the Inspector General is investigating these, the the basically the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton server investigation, if he comes across anything that is a potential crime or a crime at that moment in time during his investigation, he has to turn that over to the Department of Justice. It doesn't mean that we would know about it. It means that after his report is concluded, then he would make that public. He would allow the DOJ.
Here's what I don't know. We already know the facts. And you know who told us? James Comey. Got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue with Sarah Carter and much, much more right here in Singapore. It's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, as we continue, Sarah Carter is with us, investigative reporter. She's here in Singapore. IG report coming out later this week. Now the House Intel community is now really putting the screws to the DOJ because of their obstruction. And, of course, what's going on here with the summit. We know Hillary violated the Espionage Act. We know mishandling of classified, top secret, special access programming information is a crime. We know destruction of such is a crime. We also know, and this was the irony of what I did last week when I said, if I were to tell people that were told by Robert Mueller to hand over their phones, if I were to say that, it'd be a dumb idea. It's not going to work out well. Ha ha, I'm kidding. Bad idea. I said all these things, and everyone in the media got upset, but she did all of it. That's obstruction. And then it was fixed. You don't write an exoneration before investigation.
She did all of that, and she also had a private server which she was using to conduct government business. A private server which, by the way, I've been speaking to a number of people in the IT world and in the intelligence world, which was done very badly. It was very junior varsity, and we know for certain, at least the people that I've been talking to, that country and nation states like China, like Russia and others, were able to penetrate her server with classified information.
Well, the first draft of Comey Strzok's exoneration said that very thing, and people forget that. Then they took it out, just like they took out the legal definition, reckless mishandling of classified information, gross negligence.
Gross negligence, right. Yes. And they try to lessen the blow, but look, they are going to have to answer a lot of questions. This is why Michael Horowitz held off, because remember, he was waiting for Comey
and
to go out there and talk, release his book, continue talking. And how many times did Comey get caught in flat-out lies?
How many times did I say before his book release, Comey, bad idea. You do have the right to remain silent, which he should have. Anybody letting him write that book and do that tour was nuts. All right, stay right there. We are in Singapore. Sarah Carter is with us. A lot of news. We'll get back to the G7 issue. We are here for the big summit, and we are awaiting later this week the IG report. So probably one of the biggest news weeks we'll ever have. By the way, I'm also predicting, no matter what happens here, if anything short of Kim Jong-un bowing down before Trump will be viewed as a failure by your media, they can't be more wrong. And they're actually rooting for that. And I'll explain more in the next hour. All right, Sean Hannity Show, News Roundup Information Overload Hour on the program. All right, it's 5 p.m. in the East. It is 2 p.m. on the West Coast, and it is 5 a.m. We're in Singapore with the best summit coverage available on your radio dial. And, you know, one of the things that I said at the beginning of this program today, and I am telling you, it doesn't matter. Your media will never acknowledge Trump's success here. So just accept now, and it'll be frustrating to you and probably push the president's poll numbers even higher. You just prepare yourself to be frustrated, because it's going to be frustrating. In spite of everything the president has gotten leading up to this, wow, Kim wins. Kim Jong-un wins. They're so short-sighted. They are so absolutely, positively naive and just so anti-Trump, and they've been involved in this since before. Remember, they laughed at him running in the primary. They laughed at the idea he'd win the primary. They laughed that he could win the election. They didn't think all his economic moves would result in record after record after record as it has. Nobody thought that anybody could be at a summit this quickly. And how did we get here? Well, we've got the demilitarization, dismantling of a nuclear test site by Kim Jong-un. That's happened. We got three hostages released. That's happened. We've got the DMZ crossing into the South Korean president's arms. That's happened. Even more significantly, no missiles have been fired in this whole process over Japan. That's happened. You know, now we're talking about denuclearization. Now we're, You know, got hardliners even being purged. As the president said, this is going to be a process. At 9 Eastern tonight, when Hannity goes on the air, I can promise you they're not going to come out 2 hours later and announce a deal. That's not happening. And the president said it's going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 meetings, whatever it is. It's a process. You know, Reagan walking away from Reykjavik ended up with the Berlin Wall coming tumbling down. But it was years later. It's a process. And if you ask on any level, is any of this bad? No. But that's not what your media says. That's they're corrupt. Let me just play, you know, corrupt MSNBC conspiracy TV, you know, about Trump asking if he's prepared for the summit while he was in a porn movie, or, you know, are Trump women that likes Trump, Donald Trump, are they dead inside? Or what Robert De Niro said about, you know, F Donald Trump at the Tonys. Let's play it.
I've been preparing all my life. I'd love to know, Mr. President, when was that? When you appeared in a Playboy softcore porn movie? Was it when you body slammed Vince McMahon, the head of the World Wrestling Federation?
Let me ask you, I mean, you know more about the Trump women, the Trump family than anyone. What do they do on a day like today? Are they just the most stoic human beings? Are they numb? Are they dead inside?
I'm going to say one thing. Trump. It's no longer down with Trump. It's Trump.
8 years of failure. 8 years. Let's go over the economic numbers, Mr. De Niro. 8 years. What did you get out of your beloved Obama? You got 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty, lowest labor participation since the 70s, worst recovery since the 40s, lowest home ownership in 51 years, and you doubled the national debt. The guy that ran on, oh, $9 trillion in debt is irresponsible and unpatriotic. Well, he left with $20 trillion in debt. Great. I guess that's pretty irresponsible. And if I was to use his adjectives, unpatriotic by his definition. You know, now what do we have? We have more people for the first time in history. We have more Americans that now, more jobs available than we have people unemployed. 14 state record low unemployment levels, record low unemployment for women in the workplace, Hispanic Americans, African Americans. You know, I mean, record numbers of revenues coming into the government. You have tax cuts, the biggest in our history. And what are the Democrats thinking? Well, there's going to be a big blue wave. We're going to run on impeaching the president, but we won't say it. We're just going to wink and nod at the American, well, impeach him. We're going to run on raising your taxes. Pelosi has said it repeatedly. She wants to pull back the tax cuts. We're going to expand Medicare, which is broke. We're going to do that. We're not going to build a wall. We want open borders. Oh, and we want Obamacare. Okay, it's a choice election. Just like none of them got any of these things done with North Korea. They didn't get the hostages out. They didn't get the dismantling of a test site. They didn't stop them from firing missiles. You know, they thought bribing him would be the best thing, just like bribing the mullahs in Iran. Anyway, here to talk about how corrupt your media is, Joe Concha, media writer for The Hill. He's going to walk us through a lot of the commentary. My position is there's nothing Donald Trump can do here short of Kim Jong-un getting on his knees and kissing Donald Trump's ring that will be viewed as a success by the media.
The expectations will be, Sean. And by the way, you're pretty pumped up for somebody who just took, what is that, like a 2 or 3 hour flight over there?
It's a 22 and a half hour flight.
Nonstop. You know,
well, if you're asking, so I'll answer. The hardest thing is the time change. And it's 5 a.m. here. Well, a little after 5 now. It just is weird to be on a totally opposite schedule. We'll be doing TV locally here at 9 a.m. when the summit starts, local time, 9 p.m. back in the East.
You mean prime time here? That's crazy, right? I mean, that's going to... You'll need a vacation after that feeling.
What I'm trying to do is I'm just staying on Eastern time. And, you know, we're doing okay. Anyway, great to have you. Do you agree with my assessment, though? I don't think there's anything he does here that they would deem successful.
Right, right. The only thing that would be deemed successful is if you had a signed agreement from both parties saying that the North Korean regime has decided to denuclearize. And after being essentially at war with South Korea for 74 years, at least there was an armistice, right? You're not going to solve that with one meeting. But the fact that we're here, I think the news cycle moves so fast, Sean, we forget just last July, August, where we were literally, you had people writing that we were on the verge of World War III because the president's rhetoric was reckless and was going to instigate Kim Jong-un into firing missiles at Guam or the U.S. Remember that? We forget all that. Now, look where we are now. To your point, with the hostages freed, yes, but the fact that these two leaders are talking, that North Korea and South Korea are talking, that we're even bringing up the possibility of this sort of agreement happening is already, in my mind, a huge success. And if the framework, as Secretary Pompeo said, is laid out here, general broad strokes, and we move on to another meeting, and he actually is able to get this done in his first term, I mean, you got to give him the Nobel. And as Aaron Burnett on CNN, of all people, said, that he would have to go down as a great president as a result of being able to pull off what the Bushes, the Obamas, the Clintons, and everybody else has not been able to pull off in the past 25 years.
You know, one of the things, I'll give you virtually every report of the lead up to this and all the things that I mentioned, dismantling the test site, no missiles fired, hostages released, you know, all of these things, you know, well, if he gives them a photo op, he loses. Let me go to the Washington Post as an example, you know, because every report leading up to this summit, talks are going well. But the president's, there's only so many ways he could say we're not signing an agreement here. We're just meeting. It's a first step. It's a process. And you read these reports in the Washington Post. What do they say? The working level sessions, including those led by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, have foundered repeatedly over basic issues of what the summit should be about and the inability to close a fundamental gap in understanding over the North Korean denuclearization. They can't even get past first base on security assurances from North Korea because the North Koreans will not define what it means to put an end to hostile policy. It hasn't even happened, and they've said it's a failure.
You know
it
what?
Hasn't happened.
Do you remember Senator Phil Graham when he said that we're a nation of whiners? And he got a lot of blowback for that. Yeah. We're a media of whiners. And okay, you want to say this hasn't happened and that hasn't happened, like the Washington Post just laid out. Okay, so what's the alternative exactly? Do we go back to what Presidents Obama and Bush and Clinton did before in allowing North Korea to get this far with their nuclear program? I mean, as you said, we're in the first inning, the first out in the first inning of this process. You can't expect all these things to happen.
But, Joe, it's even worse than that. Because there's been a lead up here. When has Kim Jong-un literally dismantled a nuclear test site? When was he going to stop firing missiles over Japan and threatening Guam and the entire region and saying his missiles will reach the continental U.S.?
That's a good point.
When did he cross the DMZ? Who else got the hostages out?
You know, That's a very good point. He hasn't fired a missile since December. Now, that's progress, right? I mean, and the last one over Japan, as you said. Yes, exactly. And look, just to comment on those clips that you played before, you know, I have a new theory that I'm going to introduce, I think, for the first time on this show, besides to my wife. And that is that the Stephanie Rules of the world and the Nicole Wallaces of the world, I don't think they want to be respected as journalists anymore. They want to be loved as celebrities. They don't want to be Bob Woodward. They want to be Jon Stewart, or they want to be Samantha Bee. When they make those kind of comments, it's all to go viral, to draw attention to themselves and not to actually reporting facts. And that's the thing. Stephanie Ruhle, Nicole Wallace, they are branded as anchors on that network. And you're an opinion host. So when you say things like that, I say, yeah, he's given an opinion. Just like Maddow gives an opinion. Just like Laura Ingraham gives an opinion. Right? But these people are being billed as anchors, which means what they're presenting, the audience believes is fact when they're really opinion. And it's just driving me nuts that Don Lemon, who's a nice guy, I've met him, I've been on his show, is called an anchor. How is that possible? He's an opinion guy and an advocate. And we got to start being honest, and it starts with titles. And that's a big problem. As for De Niro, by the way.
How funny. Yeah. Go ahead. As for De Niro.
De Niro, I wrote this today. It's volume 94 this year of this sort of thing only helps Donald Trump. I'm telling you, when De Niro acts like that on a national stage and says those things out loud, it just only helps the president because it just shows how unhinged they are, and they're attacking personally, and then regular Americans at home, forget like the blind partisans, they're saying, what is this? I'm watching an award show. I got to hear this stuff. My kids are watching. I got to hear this stuff. Come on.
I got to take a break. We'll come back. Joe Concha of The Hill on your corrupt abuse of media. That's next. And also, we'll get to your calls coming up in the final half hour of the program today, 800-941-SEAN. As we continue, we're in Singapore, the best radio summit coverage available. Hey, I want to tell you about the USCCA. All right, you are a responsible gun owner. You agree with the Second Amendment. By the way, something they don't really have here. You're not even allowed to chew gum, which kind of makes the city cleaner. If people would chew gum and put it out dispose of it the right way, it wouldn't be a problem. All right, as we continue with Joe Concha, he's with The Hill. He's their media writer. The other thing is everyone in the media focused on that picture of all of the leaders in the G7.
With Merkel,
And Merkel. And you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at Donald Trump controls the narrative. Donald Trump controls he is the center of it all. And he's the disruptor we elected. And you know what I like? He's finally saying, you know, America's paid the price, the entire price of fighting for liberty and freedom. Americans fight, bleed, and die for all of you. And now we pay for most of your protection. And then you hit us with tariffs. And then the president said, why don't we have zero tariffs for everybody? And I'm like, that's fair. Why would they be against that? And I'm like, I'm finally somebody saying, I'm tired of America being abused and taken advantage of. And we're allowing the abuse. And he's the first guy that's saying, no, we don't protect you. We don't defend you. And then you turn around and screw us on trade deals. We want fair trade. And somehow that's a horrible thing for America. I'm like, good. Somebody's finally looking out for us because we've been a bunch of suckers for years.
I think many of the pundits out there who act shocked and outraged when President Trump speaks this way about trade, what are you shocked about? He's been saying this since 2015. It's one of the reasons why he won. No one else was talking about trade outside of Bernie Sanders, right? And now he's just being consistent with things he has always said, and to act outraged that he's actually saying it to the people that he has to negotiate with is remarkable. What, he's supposed to be phony? We celebrate that instead? So, I mean, we're at such a low point now with our media. It's only helping the president because the poll numbers, everything I see, everything is trending upwards. So, to your point, there's no influence like there used to be because no one trusts the messenger anymore.
They have to be rooting for failure. They can't allow Donald Trump to be successful. So that what they've done is they've raised the bar and expectations, or they're trying, to a level that is so void of any historical perspective, i.e. Reagan and Gorbachev and Reykjavik and walking away. And then eventually over time, as part of a process, the wall comes tumbling down.
Right. We saw an example of it leading up to this. Remember, this summit wasn't supposed to happen. It was canceled by President Trump. He sent a letter and everybody mocked the letter and said, it's a failure. And there go the Nobel Peace Prizes. But by doing that, walking away originally when North Korea was saying some pretty hostile things, that got them back to the table. Now here they are at this summit. So again, it's amazing.
All right, Joe Concha, thanks for your perspective as always. I'm glad it's 5 p.m. where you live. I'll be working, by the way, at 9 a.m. local time. You'll be getting ready for bed and nap time.
Yeah, well, nap time, that's funny. But hey, time to ask for that raise, maybe. Maybe it's time.
All right, Joe Concha of The Hill, 800-941-SEAN. We're going to get to calls. Yeah, regular calls, regular number. From Singapore, and we'll play a little Man on the Street. Linda and Sweet Baby and Blair went out on the street, and they got some audio asking people here in Singapore what they think of the summit. All right, it is almost 5:30 in the east, 2:30 on the west coast, and 5:30 a.m. here in Singapore. The weirdest hours to do a radio show. I never wanted to be a morning man, ever, in radio, ever. Only did it once, but I did it simultaneously when I was doing the afternoon show and the morning show. I did two shows, and I was paid $19,000 a year for all you people that say, well, you work in TV and radio, you're rich. No, you don't get rich in radio when you start. You don't even think you're going to survive another day. All right, from Singapore, best summit coverage available on your radio dial. It's the Sean Hannity Show.
Sam accountable to you every day. Hannity is on.
Hey, everybody, it's Linda, and we're here in Singapore talking to the folks on the street, trying to get the lowdown on how they feel about Donald Trump coming here for the summit. So we're going to talk to folks up along Cashin Street, Saya Street, and ask them what they think. So here we go. So it's interesting. So he might not be ally friendly, but he's the first one to get North Korea to the table to discuss nuclear peace.
Okay, so again, like, I think I would argue that as well, because, you know, like, it's not that the North Korea didn't have nuclear missile, right? You know, they always had nuclear missile, right? You know, I think now maybe United States seeing that as a kind of potential threat, which for many years they didn't see. Plus, you have to understand the other aspect of it, that in North Korea, like, you know, their biggest allies are China and Russia, and the both of them are quite heavily nuclear guarded, right? You know, so I think before Donald Trump, there could be other president who wouldn't care, because they would have thought, okay, Russia would never step in and all that. But now Russia also has quite a lot of, like, nuclear weapon. I think it's more of a strategic, I think, had it been not Donald Trump and somebody else, and they say that if North Korea has weapon which are primarily protected by North Korea, Russia, and China, I think any president in that position could have been threatened.
So are you based here in Singapore?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about the summit being held here in Singapore?
It's quite significant, because it shows that, like, even though we are a small country, we still have a part to play in the world affairs. Yeah.
How about you?
I mean, I feel quite proud that, you know, such a global event on such a huge scale is happening in our country. So I guess it's something to be proud of.
So that was Linda out on the streets. We're in Singapore now, 24 before the top of the hour. And, well, it's 25 before 6 a.m. here, and obviously 6 p.m. in the east, and 25 before 3 in the west coast. I'm trying to keep my time straight. The only way to do this, you got to stay on Eastern time. But the one of the things, and Sweet Baby James is here, Blair is here, Ethan and Sunshine and Jason are back in our New York studio, but it's a 22 and a half hour trip, right?
Yeah.
We took Singapore Air.
Yeah.
Which was unbelievable. The people were nice. We thought they were all spies. And
I didn't think that the airline attendants were spies.
Oh, 100% they were.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What was it that made you think that they were a spy?
I talked to Dan Hoffman, and Dan Hoffman thinks everybody's a spy.
Right, well, he was in the CIA for 30 years, so, yeah. you know, his dog is a spy. He probably thinks he's bugged.
So you, everybody here from TV and radio, you guys have been to the botanical gardens.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't go to the botanical. Well, we went to the mall. I thought the mall experience was amazing. No, because it's an American mall. And
I don't know that I would say that it's an American mall. I think that there are American aspects to it. But the thing that they do better here is they have a bathroom like every 20 feet that has like 38 stalls. And, you know, they believe in cleanliness. They have hand sanitizers inside the bathroom stall. Then they have them outside the bathroom stall. Then they have them on the way out of the bathroom. Then they have trash cans everywhere.
Yeah, everybody at home is dying to hear about the bathrooms in Singapore.
I think
that's
people,
a really important topic.
Listen.
Can you say Singapore? Hey, I'm in Singapore. It's Linda reporting on the streets of Singapore. Say Singapore.
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 But seriously, like, we went out, Blair and I went out.
What do people say to you the first thing they say? You're from New York, aren't you?
They actually didn't ask me a single thing about myself.
Because they're scared to death to ask you a question because you're so aggressive.
No.
What?
They were thrilled and kind, and anybody who didn't want to talk, it was purely because they were so nervous. But like the last two kids that you heard, like they were 18 years old. They were going into college, and the kids said, "I'm so proud. I'm so proud that our small country is a part of this." And I thought, God, this kid is 18 years old. Like, you know, we got snowflakes back in America trying to find a safe space to talk about their feelings. It's such a dichotomy.
One of the things, though, that you get warned about, like, it's you can't chew gum. Everybody here is chewing gum.
No, they're not.
I see a lot of people chewing gum.
No, they're sucking on mints. It's very different. They don't even sell gum here.
And the strangest thing is they've got smoking sections. They, like, on the streets, they cordon off, like, a yellow roped-off area as if the smoke is going to stay in the yellow area. I'm like, what's the point?
It's better than our you can't smoke anywhere. At least they give them a section.
Them a section, but, all right, the smoke actually exceeds. It's not in a box. But here's another weird law here. Like, they ban e-cigs, but they allow smoking.
Right. It's so weird.
What's the point of that?
That is so weird, actually. I agree with you. It's like, okay, so they can't have water vapor, but they can have carcinogens.
Yes, they can have all the carcinogens and additives of, you know, a cancer stick, but you can't have an e-cig. Although, some would argue, well, maybe that's the influence of the tobacco companies, but the tobacco companies are involved in the e-cig business.
Can I tell one amazing story that you don't know yet?
What?
So we're setting up the studio today, and we're you know, it was me, James, and Blair, and we've, you know, been here all weekend doing tests and making sure everything runs properly.
The reason she's saying me, James, and Blair is because I'm not involved in the setup. Basically, I was sleeping. Is that what your point was?
Excuse me, your talent. It's not something that you do.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so me, James, Blair, and Sean, we were in here setting up all weekend. It was a struggle. Oh, Jesus. So anywho, we're in the room, and there weren't enough lights. So we asked for if they could bring us a lamp or something like that, because it was really dark and they didn't have any lamps.
So the Chinese spies that are they're acting like they're hotel workers. Go ahead.
Oh my God, even in Singapore. So all that to say,
Singapore.
So that I called down the front desk. I'm like, hey, do you guys have an extra table? Do you have an extra this? They're super helpful, right? And I said, do you have an extra lamp or lights? Because it's very dark in here and like we have a lot of paperwork, we can't see. She's like, let me see what we can find. I said, all right, fine. So, you know, it was like 45 minutes. She wasn't back. And I was like, oh, it's the middle of the night. I'm not going to be able to get a lamp anywhere. This woman drove to her home. She took a cab. She went home and brought us her lamps from her personal home to light up the room for us. And I just looked at her and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Linda, there are cameras in the lights.
Oh, my God.
Linda. There's audio recordings in the lights.
Michelle, the manager, is no longer a helping hand. No, she's a CIA over.
Listen,
I got it.
You got to admit, because you were there, everybody was there. Sweet Baby James, right? Daniel Hoffman scares the crap out of it, right? Blair shaking his head. Daniel Hoffman thinks every single thing we do is being video and audio taped. And you're a target, Hannity. I'm like, well, what am I in New York? We don't have Russian spies and
Chinese spies and North
Korean and Iranian spies there.
I brought my best undergarments. You know, I did not want to disappoint, you know.
All right. Welcome to the Howard Stern Show. We're broadcasting live from Singapore. It's actually overall been a good experience. The only hard part is adjusting to the time. That's the only thing. I mean, to think that, you know, we're coming on 6 a.m., which is great because now there's one breakfast place that opens at 6.
That's right.
So I'm literally putting this mic down and going to eat breakfast.
Yep, all by yourself. Who's going to leave us here to clean up all the mess?
I've taken the last dinner we had, 30 people were at the dinner between radio and TV. Do I not always invite everybody?
You invite everybody.
Everybody.
Even the spies.
Took them to the
steak. They ate a lot, too. They were hungry from all this, you know.
Took them to the steakhouse. Oh, and then I got people on my staff, even though it's illegal, they're pulling out their vapes and they're like vaping at the table, and you see shock. On the face of...
I mean, the Russian spy was very upset during dinner. He said you didn't give the best vodka, and he was complaining to me.
Well, the other thing is when I give them a tip, they come back, and they're, like, so happy. They're so thankful.
I'm chasing people down the hallway trying to give them tips, and they won't take it. I've never seen anything like it.
All right, let's get some calls in while we're here. The number remains the same. Oh, my buddy Tavares. We can't even play our introduction music for Tavares. We can't play 30 seconds. I think we get 30 seconds, don't we? Yeah, find the 30 seconds we can play because we're allowed to play. Hey, Tavares, how are you? Welcome to Singapore.
Hey, Sean, I'm good, but you say buddy? Sean, I'm your buddy now, Sean? You left my ass in America, Sean.
I left your ass in America because what you have to work. Didn't I help you get through college?
Sean, look, you trying to, look,
Stop. Now I got your question. You wanted a better life, and you told me you wanted to do something. Didn't Hannity step up and help his buddy out?
You stepped up big time, Sean. But look, I'm upset. I got two reasons why I'm upset.
Okay.
You left my ass. You didn't take my ass to Singapore with you.
Yeah.
And then you didn't tell me that the fat boys were reuniting at the summit.
Sean. Who are you calling fat? Me?
No, Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. They forming a group. They're calling it the summit. And they're getting together. They're going to perform.
Only Tavares. You know, here it is. I help a liberal out.
They're going to perform, Sean. It's going to be hot.
I help a liberal out. I change the trajectory of your life. And all you could, and the president now is getting hostages freed. He's talking about denuclearization. And then the liberal comes out of you. You should now be a conservative. You should say, oh, no liberal helped me. Hannity, the right-wing nut job, helped me out. Oh, the conservative stepped up and adopted my family. No, you still can't Why don't you say, good job, Mr. Trump. There's a chance for peace in the world. Thanks for getting our hostages home. I'm glad missiles aren't being fired over Japan and threatening the world. And I'm also glad that we're talking about denuclearization and this guy blew up one of his or dismantled one of his nuclear test sites. Why don't you say, good job, Mr. Trump? Say it.
We're talking about Kim Batman Oon. You want me to
little
say
Rocket
thank
Man.
You, Donald Trump?
Little I want Rocket you to say
because he's
little
sitting
Rocket
down
Man.
With a man. He's the fattest man in his country, Sean. He's eating all the people's food by himself. And you want me to say thank you to Donald Trump for sitting down with the fattest man in North
Korea? I want you to say the president has done a good job. Even coming into this summit, why don't you just admit? Well, you can't do it. You Trump haters. Because it's a pathological insanity you've adopted.
You know why?
The economy's never been better, and now look at what's happening on the world stage. You never would have predicted this in 1,000 years.
You know why I can't say it? Because you never said good job, Barack Obama. You never said it, Sean.
I did so. You want to bet? I've got the tape.
You never said it. You just said that.
I got the tape. I'll tell you what. He's
you
a great
just
father.
Said Barack Obama's a he great seems father. Like, that's the only thing positive seems, I heard you say about Barack Obama.
It's the only thing positive I can think of.
Exactly. That's the only thing you said about. And then you go off a Did, tangent on
oh,
how great Donald
oh,
Trump,
okay.
your new best
oh,
friend.
Okay.
Donald Trump,
right.
your new best
Hang
friend.
Hang on a second. He 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty, doubled the national debt. Trump, let's see. Lowest ever record low unemployment, 14 states, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, women. Who do you pick?
Take all credit for that. So it wasn't on a continual decline because of Barack Obama?
All right, you know what? There's no hope for you.
What?
Music out. Peace out.
Yeah, baby.
We get our 30 seconds, then we get fined. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da. Sing it. All right, let's get back to our phones here. Let's go. Oh, Donna is in Staten Island on WOR. Donna, welcome to Singapore. How are you?
Hi there, my friend. How are you?
I'm a little jet-lagged, but I'm doing good. Welcome aboard.
Well, I have to agree with Tavares. I wish you would have taken some of us with you, but that's okay. I just wanted to also let you know that today is our 7-year anniversary because Facebook actually reminded me that it was 7 years ago that I first called into your show.
Wow. Well, happy anniversary, dear.
Yes,
the flowers
thank you,
are in the mail. You know what we're going to do? We're absolutely going to, Lauren, send flowers over to Donna. Call our friends at 1-800-Flowers. I'm sending flowers to you. It's our anniversary.
Thank you. You know I love you, so I would totally appreciate that. But, well, I just also wanted to tell you that I'm praying for our president, and I'm really proud of him, and I'm actually so thrilled to be alive during his presidency that I can know about it firsthand, because this is greatness that we're seeing, no matter what the people on the left and the haters want to say. We've got a great president. He's trying to do great things, and I'm really proud of him, and I'm praying for him every day.
You know, that should be every American feeling that way, but you know why they're not? Because they can't get over they lost. They lost big time. All right, Donna, got to run. Happy anniversary. The summit actually starts 9 o'clock Eastern, 9 a.m. here in Singapore. When we come up on the air tonight on Hannity, it'll be live, as always, and you'll get to see the whole thing. All right, got to take a quick break. We will come back in a second. In just 3 hours from now, the summit begins. We're in Singapore. Hannity live tonight as the summit starts. It kicks off exactly at our hour, 9 Eastern and 6 Pacific and 9 a.m. here, Singapore time. So we'll have full coverage all throughout the hour, 9 o'clock Eastern, regular time, Fox News Channel. We have Dr. Gorka. We have Daniel Hoffman here. Sarah Carter is here and our reporters all over Singapore. That's tonight at 9 as the summit kicks off. Set your DVR. We will see you tonight, 9 Eastern. We'll see you back here, 3 a.m. Singapore time, regular time, New York time, on your radio dial. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you tonight. We'll see you in 3 hours. Okay.